Welcome to the Analytics Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara, and we are diving into the tight end position here on the market share report. And I think this is interesting because each position operates a little bit differently. And it's in doing and preparing these shows, it has sort of taken me to some of the acquisition points. And I think tight ends are one where, listen, we could take a lot of late season waiver wire bets, a lot of that in here. And then again, you're pivoting across positions. There's some of that in terms of the acquisition price. Throw in guys, some of that. A blend of ages, right? Different types of bets, volume bets, and some lessons learned. So let's dive in. Number one, and these are just the tight end premium leagues. 50%, and there's a couple of guys in here that are different. So I'll hit them as well in terms of premium versus non-premium. 50% in tight end premium, John Bates. Just a ton of shares that just off the waiver wire as down the stretch flex or fill in tight end or depth guy as he's just running more routes. So there's a non-zero chance that he's tight end one, and I'm interested. And again, we'll see what the Logan Thomas, usage is, right? What his recovery status is from his injury, but that'll certainly dictate. And is there a non-zero chance that Bates is a tight end one there? Sure. And if you start looking at that, like that has some value. That puts him right in the flex type consideration. Mike Clay has Logan Thomas basically as a 50 and 500 guy. And if that's not true, right? If something is wrong with him in terms of his rehabilitation, again, just remember a lot of what he was just running basically a lot of league average routes, essentially what he was. And that's a largely replaceable trait. So if you are looking for a situation where you can get some tight end two type production, how do you do it? Getting a lot of that volume could work. There's not a lot after him, Cole Turner, Sammy Reyes. I'm interested in Bates. And again, if this is one where, you know, come October, he's running 13% of their routes and it's Logan Thomas back at full force, we can move on. There's no harm there. But I think there's a chance that with the recovery for Thomas not fully back, that Bates could be relevant here. So that's kind of the bet that we're making. Again, it's cost me virtually nothing to acquire him. Next up at 33% is Evan Ingram, and lots of different ways acquired along the way. A lot of cheap tight end premium drafts that I took him in the teens. I would say one lesson that I've learned from the Evan Ingram experience, and I've sort of tried to harp's not the right word, discuss this a number of times this offseason. It's a core strategy. Listen, don't take tight end eight unless there's a really good chance that tight end eight looks a lot better than tight end, they can be a top 3 to 5 guy, right? Don't do that. And that's kind of what the trap that I got in on Ingram was, is I started making a lot of Ingram bets like in the late tight end one range. It's not really a place where I want to make a ton of bets unless I think this person can really stick out. And, you know, if you go back and look at it, I think there's some reason to think that maybe Ingram was that guy. And he just didn't, right? So that would be some of the push-pull there. But again, I think as a general matter, don't make that type of bet would probably be the lesson that I'd learned from Ingram. Is he on the tight end two type trajectory? Pretty much everyone is, right? There's a lot of guys in that range. And so he's projected tight end 23, another 50 and 500 guy, right? So there's potential there for him to be flex viable for me in season. 28%, a similar lesson with Noah Fant at being basically my third tight end in tight end premium leagues. That's a very similar type of bet that I made with Evan Ingram. And probably one I'm not going to make. I'd rather make multiple shots in the mid range of the draft, I think, more so than, especially with some of the data that we know now, more so than the than like the lower end tight end one types. So I think that's something that I'm going to keep looking at and try and figuring out ways, but we can get some early results on some of these guys, maybe through a year or two, and understand sort of where they rank and what type of difference that makes. And I think that's going to be a key to some of the tight end work that we'll do later on. A couple of spec guys that I picked up off the waiver wire, Trey McKitty, Jacob Harris. Two guys that were basically free and maybe flip guys. Both of them, I think, have opportunities. Tyler Higbee shares that opportunity with Jacob Harris, so we'll see there. He also at 28%. Kittle up to 28%. So I've made a point of targeting Kittle, and I've got Kittle basically tied for third in tight end premium league. So making a push there for him. 22%. A guy that I targeted a bunch last year was Anthony Firkser. He actually, on some deeper rosters, has hung around and not a ton in some of my non-premium leagues. He's basically totally gone, but in some spots where I had, like, I have a 40-man. I think I might have two 40-mans that he's on, and and some of those deeper leagues where I have that sort of depth at the premium tight end position, he's been in on, I think, a spare safe leagues or whatnot too, but really he's the sort of the deeper portion of the position. I think I'll probably end up cutting him, but I'm interested to just watch and see what they do returning to the Arthur Smith offense there in Atlanta. So I'll be interested to see if he runs some two tight end action with them. I'll be interested to see how that works out. David Njoku also up a bit, up to 22%. So he's the guy, a potential benefit of the Watson deal. So I'm interested there and what he has to offer. Again, I'm a little bit lukewarm on the metrics, but again, I'd rather be lukewarm on the metrics at tight end 10 than at tight end 8. And I think he's the type of – he's the opposite side of that bet of the – and again, you want to play base rates, you want to play densities. Njoku hasn't hit – he hit early, and I think Ingram has another hit on his resume than Njoku does. But he's on the, quote, success track, even though he's probably behind pace. So that would sort of be how I would think about Njoku. Next up is basically your 2X guys. That's Goddard, Pat Freiermuth, Gronkowski, some guys there. Again, trying to get up on Goddard, trying to sell off some Pat Freiermuth. Maybe Pat Freiermuth to Gronkowski pivot when Gronkowski officially announces he's back will be interesting. Some other guys in here that are more just roster fodder at this point. Josiah DeGara, Eric Ebron, and CJ Uzama. So I'd be interested to see if I can maybe pare down some of those shares. I bet you CJ Uzama might be potential flex viable this year. As crazy as that's going to sound, I think he could be, if that offense is a little bit better, he's got a chance to win that job. And it's between him and basically Tyler Conklin. Mike Clay's got him as basically a 40 and 400 guy. So we'll see about what he has to offer. But I definitely think he could be in the flex conversation, and a guy that actually doesn't drop a ton. And maybe I even have more of as the offseason goes along. 12%, so we're looking at basically 1.5x. Ertz, 205 in tight end premium was where he's at. Him for Tony straight up in tight end premium, I think that's interesting. Depends what bet you want to make. Him for Chase Edmonds, that's interesting. Him and Miles Sanders for 112, I really like that. If you're gonna say, all right, 205 is reasonable for Ertz, might as well just go up to 112 and might as well pay 112 and get Miles Sanders back too. So I think that's a pretty interesting range for him. Again, if you need to fix tight end, this is a position that we kind of know what the formula is, right? You take guys with there's a couple of them, right? You take depressed pedigree guys, or you take guys that are historic performers that are falling in cost, right? That's the depth way. Those are the depth ways to fix the position. And Ertz definitely is one of the all-timers. Isn't the right description of him, but a high-end producer that has fallen in price and is basically aging. those guys tend to, if they have the opportunity, they tend to play well enough to sort of stick around and be productive if they have that opportunity. So he should have that in Arizona here for the next year, if not two. And I think that that's an interesting bet. Again, at 205, he can well outproduce that cost in these tight end premium leagues. Kyle Pitts at 12%. Probably not going to have a ton more, I wouldn't imagine. I think I actually have Andrews at 12% too. Yep. And then Hayden Hurst is one that's interesting. Josh Palmer for Hayden Hurst in 409. That's interesting. 207 and Hayden Hurst for James Robinson. That's basically James Robinson for an HHG plus a free shot at Hayden Hurst. He's going to Cincinnati, has the opportunity for a tight end one. Again, it's not the most glamorous profile, but we've seen him produce a top 12 seasonal finish down when he was in Atlanta. Will Disley as well, Jared Cook, Logan Thomas. So we'll see where those guys are. Probably some potential cut guys there. Logan Thomas as well. We'll see what the limited, you know, what his medical issues are there, if his limitations, his recovery and all that from his surgery. Hunter Henry is one that, again, I think I'd rather take that shot a few rounds later than take a shot on Fant with some of the questions that he has as well. So so that would be kind of in that range of, you know, if you can get him in the 15 to 20 range as a position, I'm interested in, and certainly that at, versus taking, you know, trying to sort out guys not named Dallas Goedert between, like, you know, 8 and 15, for example. Some of the guys just below market. Kelsey, I think I'll probably, some of my salvos on Kelsey will be if he's off to a slow start. If there's some opportunity to get him in this offseason, I'll explore that too. But really, if he's off to a slow start, or if it's getting close to the trade deadline and we can trade, I keep going back to that Mac Jones for Devontae Adams trade. If I can make deals like that for Kelsey, I'll be interested in that. That'll be some of the stuff that I'm going to explore along the way. Cheap shots on O.J. Howard. I realize how mad I am at myself that I missed on shares of Dalton Schultz. And I'm at 6%, and I spent all last offseason like, why is Dalton Schultz less expensive than Blake Jarwin? And I, for some reason, didn't go out and exploit that market. So that's what I'm really kicking myself on. I'm kicking myself like I didn't take 30-1 on the Celtics to win the I think it was either the championship or the Eastern Conference like several months ago. So that's the same level that I'm kicking myself on Dalton Schultz. So all right, so we weaved in our obligatory basketball mention, and we've gotten through all our market shares. So I'll have some more content here. I'm doing some contract stuff. I am working through some of that. I got a startup going on, so that'll have some content on that coming up as well. I might have some guests on to talk trades and some potential startup strategy as well, team building strategy along the way. So be on the lookout for all that. And until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.